Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Morning Show, this last Tuesday of November. We're going to come back to why that's important in a moment. This is your host, Phil Huff. In the studio today, we have John Toten from Dog Smile. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Phil.
And we're going to get to a really interesting interview with John in a few moments, but first, the weather on everybody's mind, especially if you've looked outside, not just this morning, but yesterday, we had more snowfall than was anticipated or forecasted yesterday. So take the forecast with this grain of salt. It could be more or less, or adapted to your specific living location in our fine little microclimates. But today we do have mostly sunny, a high of 20 degrees. So it's going to be cold but sunny, at least they say mostly. And then a chance of snow this afternoon, this evening, about 30%. Looks like we could have about an inch or so of accumulation. Tonight, Wednesday, and through Wednesday night, we do have a winter storm advisory with highs in the 20s, high in the upper 20s, and lows in the teens to low 20s. Forecast for some considerable precipitation. If you break it all down, it looks like we could, here at Sandpoint at least, get a total of somewhere between 13 and 16 inches, plus or minus. Again, hopefully there's way more up on the mountain and way less on First Avenue here. But your conditions may vary from that. On through the rest of the week, it's going to continue with a snow likely in the 40 to 70% range, again with highs just below freezing, lows in the teens. Winter has arrived. You'd think it was December, John.
Right. It's time.
So it is the Tuesday immediately post Thanksgiving, and now for the last 10 years, that has meant that it's Giving Tuesday. Somewhere this started about 10 years ago, sort of as an addendum to Black Friday, the big shopping day, and that someone dreamed up the local shopping Saturday day, which is really wonderful, and we see a lot of energy around that here in our small little town. And then Cyber Monday came in with a rage, and Giving Tuesday is the day that's focused on giving back. If you haven't spent it all on Friday, Saturday, Monday, consider giving a little to those organizations and causes that you support. And there are so many of them here at Sandpoint. We would take up the hour just listing them. I'm sure I'd miss somebody, but we feature a lot of them here at KRFY from time to time. On the morning show, we feature nonprofits both Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. I'm sure you've heard from a number of them. You have your favorite. And a good reminder that our radio station, KRFY, is one of those nonprofits that benefits from your support. We're able to bring live local programming, able to bring out voices and activities of interest like today's interview with Dog Smile, thanks in large part to our supporters and our listeners just like you. So with that, we're going to turn to the topic of the day, which is John Totten and his, you're in a grace period, we'll still call it a new nonprofit, Dog Smile.
Yeah.
Executive director, founder, tell us a little bit about your organization.
Well, thanks for having me, Phil. Dog Smile Adventures is a therapeutic sailing program. So our mission is to provide healing and discovery through sailing adventures. Basically what happens is I try to provide sailing opportunities for those who don't have them, focusing on under-resourced populations in our region. And I do that through working with local organizations that support those specific populations, and also through selling sailing lessons and sunset sails to the tourists and general public in order to fund those free experiences that I can give to our local folks.
So how did I get started? Where did this gem of an idea come from?
Well, Dog Smile's been, we just finished our second season here on Lake Pendere. And, you know, before that, so in, the 5 or 6 years before we launched, I was working as a commercial sailing captain down in the Southern Caribbean, sort of living the dream and running million-dollar boats and taking very wealthy people out sailing, and I kind of burned out and just decided that I wanted to do this with a little more purpose, and that's how Dog Smile happened.
Wonderful. In the 2 years, you've developed some really interesting programs that target very specific activities and specific populations. So tell us a little bit about those programs.
Yeah, I would say there's two programs that really stick out that I think I'm most proud of. Number one has been a partnership with a program called Specialized Needs Recreation down in Coeur d'Alene. Specialized Needs Recreation, called SNR, provides recreation opportunities for families who have members with special needs. And they came out in season one a couple of times to try to test the waters to see how it would go. And it was a huge success. And last year, they brought members of all ages up to Bayview and sailed with us 10 different times. And so we had so many experiences with children and adults who have sensory issues, both physical or mental disabilities, all manner of challenge in their life, and we just had a great time out sailing with them. I think the other group that I'm most proud of and is definitely local here to Sandpoint is our veteran sailing program. I was able to partner with Sandpoint Park and Recreation as well as the Sandpoint Sailing Association and provide opportunities for local veterans to get out sailing. And so we tagged into the Thursday night beer can racing out here off the city beach in Sandpoint, and we had veterans come down sailing every Thursday all summer long. And we really saw the program take hold this year. In season one, I had two veterans participate in the pilot program, and this year we had 22 veterans participate. And so we just saw a ton of growth there and really saw the value of partnering with these other local organizations. You know, the city was a huge key to the castle, but then also Sandpoint Sailing Association having these organized events and just embracing my program and really going out of their way to do everything they can to help welcome those veterans into the club and get them out there sailing. So those are two that have really been great.
It's easy, I think, relatively easy for anyone who lives near the lake to understand somewhat intuitively the power, the value of being out on the lake from a therapeutic standpoint. And so what a wonderful opportunity. And thank you for connecting with the veterans. And you've mentioned the city and some of the other partnerships. What are some of the other individuals or communities that you've reached?
Well, we've been, it's been so cool because there's been so many. There's a women's shelter in Spokane run through HRC Ministries that is a safe house for ladies who've been sex trafficked. They come out and sail once a month. That one's been fantastic. I'm working with multiple youth transition programs here and up in Bonner's Ferry that are helping young people turn their lives onto a healthy track, and so they've been out sailing quite a bit. I worked with the Human Rights Institute of North Idaho this year to get local foster children out sailing. And then it's been a lot of one-offs. You know, we have a program called Buy Someone a Boat Ride. And so we have local community members call me up and say, you know, my sister's going through a hard time and I'd love to get them out sailing. And so they can pay for a day of sailing and do that. And I've had folks reach out, you know, people fighting cancer, people dealing with whatever they're dealing with, that just could use a little time on the lake and maybe don't have access to it.
It's always interesting to find out more about how those connections are made as you've developed some critical mass. People have heard about Dog Smile and contacted you, it sounds like, and you've probably done some community outreach, but tell us how the typical connection gets made.
Well, I would say that most of the connection has happened with me reaching out to other organizations who already serve these populations, you know, these specific groups, such as veteran service providers or special needs recreation, things like that. And then it's been a lot of word of mouth, and people just reach out through the website or through social media and contact me and say, hey, I'm not really sure if we qualify or how this works, but this sounds cool. And then I just start a conversation. And basically, if you can pay, you do. And if you can't, you don't. And I get you out sailing either way.
Yeah, very nice. Tell us about your experiences there. It sounds like they're predominantly on Lake Pend'Oreille and sometimes on Lake Coeur d'Alene.
Correct. Yeah. The vast majority of the programming happens on Lake Pend'Oreille. So the flagship, Dog Smile itself, is the original boat, the one that I brought up from the Caribbean. It lives in Bayview at McDonald's Resort in Hudson Bay down there. And then I've also acquired two Catalina Capri 25s that are here in Sandpoint. And so those are the boats that are running the veteran program and some of our other programs here in town. And then I partner with Sandpoint Sailing Association doing some youth programs with their fleet here in Sandpoint. And then down on Coeur d'Alene, I've got a really cool partnership with the Coeur d'Alene Youth Sailing Club. And so we operate off the North Idaho College Beach down there. And I run a week-long sailing camp that we partner with the Boys and Girls Club of Kootenai County and also with the college and the sailing club. And those guys, they come and sail with me for a week, but then they sail once a week all summer long down there off the college beach.
Lots of stuff going on. It sounds like you have the potential to have multiple events going out in a day, and of course the need to connect with the internet and phones. How large a staff volunteer base do you have?
Right. Staff base is one. You're looking at them right now. But I will say that the volunteer base has expanded. So I've got a couple of other local qualified captains that are running boats for me, and we're going to expand that hopefully into a almost full-time, three-quarter-time position this next summer with another full-time sailor. And then volunteers coming from the local sailing community, the Lake Ponderay Yacht Club, Sandpoint Sailing Association, those groups, Coeur d'Alene Youth Sailing, getting folks out, helping me out when they can. But as far as the administration and the heavy lifting of the program, it's still a one-man band for now. And I can't help but mention, though, that I do have a pretty excellent board of directors. These folks are, I've got four board members now, and they are giving me a ton of their time and expertise and help me with the direction and the vision of the program and obviously the fundraising side.
Excellent. It's a seasonal work. Tell us about that. When does it start? How long do you go through? What does winter look like?
Right. Yeah, it's a definitely a short season here, which I think is why you don't see commercial sailing happening in the area. I think if it was just John's sailing tours, I don't think it would work, because this year we didn't really get going until the middle of June, right? It was snowing mm-hmm. May here last year. But in 2021, it was 95 on Memorial Day. And so you can't really count on that front end of the season. But generally it's mid-June, you know, through September is the season. I pushed into October a little bit this year, but then, you know, as the weather starts to change, the fall was super nice this year. So I can count on about a 3.5 to 4 month operating season. And it really plays into the mission of the nonprofit, in that I can make the business work because it's nonprofit and I'm able to fundraise in the off season to fill the profit margin and make the business work. But yeah, it's a short season. Wintertime is about fundraising and grant writing. And also I take a little break. I work almost every day in the summer, and so it's nice to get a little breather. And then I do personally have a job with the Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center in the wintertime. Yeah.
We're going to come back in the second half of the hour here and talk a little bit about IPAC. But there's always stuff to do year-round, and we're also going to be talking about an event coming up. Maybe it's a good time to do that. Tell us a little bit about what's happening.
Yeah, so Thursday night we have our second ever online fundraising event. It's our annual celebration and auction. And it's pretty awesome. We launched in the middle of the pandemic, and so the idea of having your standard in-person fundraising event just wasn't possible, and so it pushed us into this online realm. And I'll be honest, we struck gold with it. It really works for us as a small organization. I don't have the capital or the support to rent a facility and feed people and do the standard fundraising event. And so we do it online. So people can log in. There's a link. It's on the website. It's all over our social media. You log into the event from wherever you happen to be. And what we do is we have a live show happening where the board members will come and check in and tell the story of the season. But then we've also been shooting video, and so we've got some great video and testimonial from the water. And the idea is just to give people a chance to really connect with the program, to see the faces of the folks that they're affecting, and see the mission in action. And I partner with a media company called Action Sports Media out of Coeur d'Alene, and they do an incredible job filming all season long. So you get to tune in and hear the story of the season. And then obviously we ask for your support. So folks can make a donation, or they can participate in our live auction. And with our auction, we auction sailing experiences. I'm definitely an experience over thing kind of guy. And so We have experiences up for bid. We've got an evening charter on Cloud 9 up in Hope right here. We've got a surf and stay on Lake Coeur d'Alene where you get a night in the Coeur d'Alene Resort and then a day out on a wake surf boat down on Coeur d'Alene. We got a Bayview float home weekend with private sailing, which is super cool. We've got a charter in the San Juan Islands. We've got two luxury dinner cruises on the Sizzler down on Lake Coeur d'Alene, which is a really incredibly unique experience to sail on a luxury boat and have a five-star meal and the whole experience down on Lake Coeur d'Alene. And then lastly, we're doing two private sailing charters in Mexico this year. And those are definitely the hot items right now as it's 20 degrees and snowing outside. It's a nice time to think about warmer climates and going to do things like that. So everyone can log in and check it out and be a part of it. And I just want to make sure everybody knows that everyone's welcome. You know, come and hear the story and give us a high five or send us $10 or buy a $10,000 sailing trip. Whatever level people want to contribute or participate, it's all welcome because that's what we're all about at Dog Smile. It's like this experience and this program is really for everybody.
Sounds like a wonderful evening to get inspired as well. And you know, one more time, the time of the online event and the web link.
So it's via One Cause. And so if you go on One Cause and search Dog Smile Adventures, it'll link you through, or again, via our social media. It's at 6 p.m. local time on Thursday, December 1st. And it'll finish at 7:30. So it's about an hour and a half program.
So what a wonderful way to round out the week of giving. Start with Giving Tuesday and end up with a Thursday benefit for Dog Smile.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I love the show.
Yeah. Well, before we go to a music break, tell us a little bit about what your next year looks like.
Well, season 3. You know, I think, and you've been a part of this, but as a fledgling nonprofit, the goal is of season 2 is just to make it to season 3. You know, just trying to pull it off. And it's I will say that I'm a little more secure than I was a year ago and feeling that this thing is going to work and the community has really responded well. Season 3 right now is really about leaning into Sandpoint itself. I've found a home up here, and the partnership with the city and the Sandpoint Sailing Association has massive potential. I really think that this season we're going to really blow up youth sailing opportunities here on Lake Ponderay, but right in town, as well as just various programs for people to come out and learn and get access to sailing through those programs. I think that's the piece that's going to develop the most. I think our youth sailing program down on Lake Coeur d'Alene is going to grow as well. And then I just continue to develop those community partnerships. One that I'm really got my eyes on is juvenile corrections. I've got a contact here with Bonner County that they have a mentorship program, and I'm really looking forward to partnering with that mentorship program and getting those young people out on sailboats.
Wonderful. Yeah, the goal of any small nonprofit starting up at first is simply to continue, and at a certain point you start to grow, and then managing the growth is a challenge.
So. Yeah. Yep. Right now we're kind of at this phase where we're reaching my capacity personally.
Yes.
But also probably not in a financially stable enough position to hire staff. And so it's this kind of tipping point, and I've talked to a lot of other founders and people about that, and that's growing pains, and we're going to figure it out.
It's always a big, brave step hiring that first other person, and which came first, the chicken or egg?
Right.
If you have that other person, then you can expand, but you can't expand until you have them. So
exactly.
At some point, you just walk the plank, take a leap of faith. We're mixing a bunch of metaphors, and you just go for it. But beyond that uncertainty about managing growth, what's been the biggest challenge?
I think the biggest challenge so far has been prioritization of my time, personally. Trying to figure out, do I work on a grant today? Do I do some community outreach today? Do I go fix one of the sailboats today? And trying to figure out how to program my time and figure out how to get it all done and prioritize which thing needs to happen next. And I assume that's common with any, small business owner or nonprofit founder, that just trying to figure out how to allocate my time and also to find some life balance. Yeah. I found myself at the end of the summer on the edge of burnout and realizing that that's not sustainable. And so trying to make sure that I've got time to go play in the outdoors, go take a walk in the woods that I know you value, you know, just be in nature without being on the clock. And so I think those are probably the biggest challenges.
Does doing sailing for work take away some of that therapeutic personal value? Would you go out sailing in the evening as a way of release?
You know, I do. People always ask me that, and you know, they always, folks, don't mix work with passion. I hear that, and I just think it's baloney. I love sailing so much, and I go on my days off, and we go to the coast and race boats and do these things, and I just, it is important for me to get out and sail without clients.
Yes.
Periodically, so that I can just relax and sail without talking to anyone and get to feel it for myself. But to be honest, it's only enhanced it for me. It's only made it better that I get to go do this thing that I love, and I get to give it to people who really need it and try to help them feel a little better.
That's probably a really, really good point. You know, doing what you love, I think, is a wonderful thing. Everyone should try to do that in their lives, you know, work for their passion. But then separating, finding that boundary where you still find the rejuvenation from the passion about the thing. You know, for me, if I'm going out hiking, it's way different if I'm taking a group of people for an experience versus going out by myself or with my wife, and making sure we carve out time for the latter is really important.
100%. Yep. We have to find that balance and, you know, stay connected to the point for sure.
We're going to take a music break here. By John's request, we're going to hear a little Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about Giving Tuesday, John's upcoming event, and the Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center. So stay with us. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young with the Southern Cross. What a great selection, John. Thanks for offering that up.
Yeah. It's so funny because I remember very specifically the first time I saw the Southern Cross. Mm. And so that song has always just gripped me. I remember I was sailing south from St. Lucia down to St. Vincent on a broken boat, and looked up and just was due south and going, well, I don't need the instruments tonight. I can just go that way. And I'll never forget it. And it was, you know, that sense of wonder in that moment has always stuck with me. And I think that's, you know, a big piece of why I think sailing is so therapeutic and why I'm pushing it up here to bring it to people as a method for healing, is just to be out. And I always say that, you know, I'm not a therapist. The lake is the therapist. The nature is the therapist. I just facilitate it. We get out there on boats and let this place heal you. Let it make you feel better. And I think some of that inspiration came way back, and I think that was 2007, the first time I saw the Southern Cross sailing down there.
Well, a vision like that and an attachment to mission, you're sure to make it to season 3 and then 4 and then beyond.
Man, I hope so.
So before we transition over to our second topic with the Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center, tell us one more time about the event you have coming up on Thursday.
Yeah, so it's our annual celebration and auction, and it's happening on Thursday, December 1st at 6 p.m. online. The link is all over our social media and website, and so you can click on the link and join us for a night of storytelling and testimonial from the water, some beautiful images, and also have a chance to support our organization through a small donation. Or we have merchandise for sale. We have some awesome race jerseys that we'll be selling during the event with a bunch of local sponsors, and also our live auction, and that's the big part. So we have sailing experiences ranging from an evening sail on Lake Ponderay to a week in Mexico on a sailboat with me. And so lots of different opportunities to support and be a part of the organization.
Sounds like a fabulous evening with lots of great opportunities coming up in the future. Thank you, John. So with that, we've teased out this, but John is in the winter, works for the Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center. Tell us a little bit about your role there and then also about the center itself.
Yeah, so my position is relatively new. I work for the Friends of the Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center as the education program coordinator. And so, you know, there's really two sides to the Avalanche Center. There's the Forest Service program, which does the forecast, so the avalanche forecast, which is a bulletin that comes out 3 days a week this season, where recreators, snowmobilers, skiers, snowshoers, anyone that's traveling into the winter backcountry, the winter mountains, can tune in and find out, you know, terrain to avoid, how high is the avalanche danger today, where should I go, and it is the key piece of information to inform decision making. Second, right there with the weather forecast itself, right, is the avalanche forecast. So that's put out by the Forest Service, but the Forest Service, as we know, is needs help with funding. And so the Friends of the Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center is the local nonprofit that supports that forecast effort. And the Friends group does that in a few ways. First and foremost, through membership. So if you join the Friends group, your membership goes to support that forecast. You're literally paying the forecasters to get out there and help us all make good decisions. We also have corporate sponsorship through all sorts of local businesses. Corporate sponsorship's been amazing this season, people helping to support that cause. And then we do education, which is my ballpark. So we offer avalanche training to the general public as a way to educate them and help them enjoy the winter mountains safely. But that also, all that funding goes back into supporting the core mission, which is to provide a consistent avalanche forecast for everybody that's out there in our whole forecast zone.
There's an awful lot there. What role do you play in it all?
So I coordinate the educational programs. So that's my baby. I've been in outdoor training and guiding for 25 years now, and so this is really my wheelhouse. And I love to teach. It's fun. And I love to teach community members, because community members are the best students I've ever had. I'll be honest. They do the homework. They show up on time because they're spending their own money and coming out to do that. And so it's just a joy to teach people that are super keen. And we have programs varying from avalanche awareness, which is just the very basics, all the way up to level 2 avalanche training, where we really dig into snow science and leadership and so on. And there's lots of different opportunities to get training and just be a more well-informed user of the winter mountains.
So in the summer it's on water, and in the winter you're on frozen water.
That's right. Yeah, I'm a water baby for sure. Yeah, I've always said in the outdoors, water's easy, well, land is hard.
Yes. Well, one needs to do no more than just look outside the window and know, hey, winter's here, or it's certainly on its way. And up in the high country, I understand we've got actually quite a bit of snow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's happening. Yeah. It's been snowing for a month now, and it's really starting to stack up out there. And, we still have early season conditions for sure. The coverage is not complete by any means, and so you've got to be careful. But the forecasters are already out there, tuning in to how these storm layers are bonding and seeing how the early season snowpack is going to develop.
And of course, the best thing for folks to do if they want to head out in the backcountry this week or weekend would be to go to the IPAC and look at the forecast. But are there any generalized statements you can make about the relatively safe or dangerous aspects of early season snow, such as we're seeing?
I would say this in early season. So I think our first forecast is on Friday. This for the season, and so for the weekend we should have a forecast out there for everybody. But in early season, be cautious, be conservative. You know, the reality is that the snow is thin in most spots, and so it's the chance of injury is pretty high. And also, these early season storms come in at a lot of different temperatures, and there's been plenty of wind loading and so on, and so the stability is pretty unpredictable right now. And so I would be definitely very conservative. Also, remember the winter legs. Early season fitness isn't quite there usually for a lot of us either. And so I would say, get out there and be conservative in your slope angle and conservative in your terrain choice, and get out there and get a feel for it. But be careful out there early season for sure.
Good general advice. And for folks who want to find out more, there are a couple upcoming opportunities. Is that right?
Yeah, for sure. So we've actually got an event tonight at Evans Brothers Coffee. We have the first of our, what we're calling our free avalanche awareness tour. And so myself and the leadership at the Friends of IPAC are going to be hitting the road for the next month. And we're going to do free avalanche awareness all over the forecast region. So what that is it's an hour-long pretty informal training course, and then followed by a social. So we'll have an opportunity for people to connect with each other, but also to connect with the Avalanche professionals that work with the Avalanche Center here. So Avalanche Awareness is a great way to start your journey if you're new to the winter backcountry and get an idea of, you know, what is an avalanche, what is avalanche risk, how does this work. It's also a great way for the old pros and seasoned winter travelers to kind of get their heads back in the game and review. And but most of all, it's about the community. You know, we're all still recovering, I think, from a lack of connection. And so this is a great way to just get together and get fired up for the winter season. So we're going to be tonight at 6 p.m. at Evans Brothers here in Sandpoint. And then if you go on the Friends of the Avalanche Center website, you can see the whole tour there. And so we'll be over in Libby and in Montana. We'll be down in Spokane, Coeur d'Alene, and over in the Silver Valley in Kellogg. And there's a couple being added to the tour as we speak. Liberty Lake. There's a few happening, so we're on the road.
Thompson Falls is coming up too.
Yes. Thompson Falls is coming up. I think December 20th over there. So we're pushing in. We do the Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center does forecast in the Cabinet Mountains in Montana, and so we always want to make sure we get over there and support our friends on the other side of that imaginary line that doesn't really matter, right, in the mountains.
Yeah. And tell us who all would be likely to come to the event. What kind of individuals, what activities do they engage in?
Yeah, so, I mean, Avalanche Awareness especially is really open to anybody that plays in the snow at all. And so snowmobilers, backcountry skiers, splitboarders, snowshoers, you know, cross-country skiers, anyone that's playing in the winter snow can get something out of the Avalanche Awareness program for sure.
Excellent. So before we transition to another song and then some community calendar events, any parting thoughts, John, on Dog Smile or IPAC?
I would just say how much a pleasure it's been to, you know, I moved to Sandpoint in 2020 after traveling abroad, and I'd been in Idaho since the 90s, but I just want to say thank you to everybody who's welcomed me into this community, and what an opportunity it's been to spend my whole year working in nonprofit. The summer with my sailing program and the winter with the Avalanche Center, it's just been really fulfilling. And this place is so generous. This community is so kind and wholesome, and it's just lovely. I just want to tell everybody thank you for welcoming me and supporting these missions and for everything that all of you are doing out there to make this just a great place to live and lovely people. And, yeah.
What a fine thought to end on. One of gratitude, as we are in this season of gratitude, of giving this time between Thanksgiving and the end of the year, when so many of our local nonprofits that really do so much for the community in so many ways, from protecting the environment and training individuals, community members, kids, to the arts and basic human services. It's a time to remember them with gratitude and donations of both money as well as time and energy, whether it's a volunteer board commitment or a volunteer member who comes to help out and set up an event or an auction. There's a role for everyone in helping to sustain such a vital community. John, if someone's been inspired and wants to help out for either IPAC or Dog Smile, tell us how they can get a hold of you.
I'm pretty easy to find. My email is hello@dogsmileadventures.org, so pretty easy to remember. Yeah. Shoot me a message, and I can plug you in at any level.
Excellent. John Totten, executive director of the group Dog Smile, as well as educator with the Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center. Thank you for coming on the morning show this morning, John.
Thanks, Phil. It's been great.